Aloha, everyone. I hope you're having a great summer. We have taken a few trips. We went up to Cincinnati and saw Clarissa's parents, the DeCampuses, in Cincinnati recently, and that was a lot of fun. And we went and we visited the Creation Museum up there. It's actually in Kentucky, nearby there. It was pretty neat. But they actually just built, near there in Kentucky, a full-size replica of the Ark to spec on the biblical dimensions. So pretty neat stuff. And it got me to thinking, we all believe that the Word of God and the Scriptures are exactly that, right? Words from God. Well, how can we claim that when these words have been written down by men? This is one of the fundamental beliefs of the United Church of God, something that honestly makes us very different, that we truly believe those words. There are many people who read the Bible, many even Christians, and they say, oh, those are good stories. That's nice. But they don't truly believe that those things actually happened and that every scripture is inspired by God. They think, oh, it's got some good morals, maybe. And some reject it as lies and myths. Much of the world. So this is something truly special for us. But if we truly call ourselves Christians and believe that this is the Word of God, then we must take it literally. We must take 2 Timothy 3:16 literally, that says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, today I'd like to talk about one specific theme that we see from beginning to end in this book. God created mankind to be part of his family, and he calls us, all of us, sons of God. This is a very unifying thought that can be found throughout all of the books of the Bible. And it's a major proof that the Bible was truly inspired by God. So let's look at this a little closer today. Just take a minute to truly think about that. This book is different from any other god or religion in this world. Most religions paint a picture of gods unlike anything here on earth, right? Beautiful, huge, Greek, these big idols, gorgeous things, Buddha-like images. But they don't call us, the people reading or worshiping, their sons and daughters. They're to be revered, bowed down to. But God, our God, is reproducing himself to be a family. And it's not a secret. He gives us this Bible to show us that. How blessed are we to have that? I hope my dad's watching today at home. And this is something he's taught me throughout my life, and we're trying to teach our children as well. However, do we truly believe it? That he wants us to be his family? He created us to be like him? Most scholars believe that there were 40 or so authors that composed the various books of the Bible. And all these books are written in over a span of over 1,500 years. A long time. But we see these same thoughts, even though few of the writers actually knew each other. However, there are many, many, many examples, and I won't go through all of them today, but they have this consistent thought, inspired by God's Holy Spirit itself, himself, and that thought is mankind is literally going to be his family. So let's share a few of those. Let's look in the beginning, right? Genesis 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Remember, this is after God had just created plants and animals and ordered them to reproduce offspring, but according to its own kind. But Genesis 5:1 says he made man in the likeness of God. Okay, the end of the book, Revelation 21:7. Let's see if we can find the same thoughts. Revelation 21 and verse 7, he writes, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So the Bible begins and ends with sons of God living in a paradise and eating from the tree of life. And those who overcome, he promises in Revelation, will eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What a wonderful thing. He wants to treat us like this and put us in this paradise. This overriding theme does not change through the entire Bible. We are made to be children of God's. The actual word son of God, this exact phrase, is mentioned 182 times in the Bible. Sons of God, 72 times. And of course, this theme of us being God's children is even more numerous throughout the Bible. God could have presented himself to us in any way he chose, right? But the way he directed his first son, Jesus Christ, was when he prayed to say, "Our Father in heaven." It's a personal relationship. And this is not just a New Testament concept. Hosea 1:10 says, "Yet the number of children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. You are sons of the living God." What does David say in Psalm 8:4? He's inspired to write, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Why did you create us? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with the glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet." Hebrews 2, beginning in verse 5, has the same thread of thought. We see this mirrored, and we see that Jesus was truly the first Son of God and was made a little lower than the angels as well for the suffering of death for us, but is bringing many sons to glory. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughter," says the Lord Almighty. So that's really my first point, is that we're being made to be sons of God. But God's purpose goes far beyond the creation of mortal, perishable sons or beings. He's in the process of fashioning us and forming us as a new creation, fathering his own spiritual children, immortal and incorruptible, to be his very nature. And those of us who are called now, if we repent and are baptized into Jesus' name, are becoming literal children of God in this life through the power of his Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Going on in 1 John 3, verses 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." This isn't just an analogy. This isn't just something nice. Oh, we're like God. This is real. Finally, all of mankind can one day be like God. We're becoming children of God now. Everyone's going to have that opportunity. He's a very loving God. And everyone has the chance to become a spirit being, not just physical men. And that's through the resurrection. Another thought we see throughout the Bible, this beautiful unity that God, only God, could have created. Luke 20, verse 36 shows this by saying, "Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." There is evidence of a future resurrection all the way back in the very first book that many say was written, even before Moses' writings, and that's the book of Job. In Job 14:14, he's inspired to say, "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my heart's service, I will wait till my change comes." So this thought of resurrection and being God's children is throughout the entire Bible. What other book is like this? What other religion has something so wonderful? What unity of thought between so many authors that we can show other people that's from our God? What other book talks about sons of their gods? This is not even a thought that man could have comprehended. It's truly divine and from our wonderful God. He's not creating minions, slaves, creatures, aliens, but offspring with the intention for us to become like him. And he's going to take care of us. Jesus brought these words to life as a man on earth. When he returns, he will bring unity to all of mankind that's not here yet by coming with a sharp, two-edged sword in his mouth. That word is this Bible. And he will prove what he said when he was on earth. In John 10, verse 35, Scripture cannot be broken. It never has been. It never will. Finally, that sword will pierce through many, many more hardened hearts in this world that have been corrupted in this lifetime, and all of mankind will have the access to become children of God. We have a wonderful opportunity as the first children of God, and we also have access to that sword. When someone asks you, how do you know the Bible is real? How do you know it's really God's word? How will you use that sword?